Welcome to Onk Live On Air. I'm your host today, Ashling Wehner. Onk Live On Air is a podcast from Onk Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onk Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, we had the pleasure of speaking with Joshua Brody, MD, the director of the Lymphoma Immunotherapy Program at the Tisch Cancer Institute at Mount Sinai, and a faculty member of the Icon Genomics Institute in New York, New York. Dr. Brody joined us to preview mantle cell lymphoma data being presented at the 2022 ASH Annual Meeting and Exposition. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Brody discussed promising data on pirtobrutinib in MCL from the Phase 1-2 Bruin trial, the potential for CAR T-cell therapy in MCL as evidenced in the Phase 2 ZUMA-2 trial, and how immunotherapies such as glofitamab are expanding the treatment paradigm. At ASH this year, extended follow-up data from the Bruin study will be presented. What has been seen so far with pirtobrutinib in relapsed refractory MCL?
Pirtobrutinib is an exciting new BTK inhibitor and distinct from really all the BTK inhibitors we're using every day because it is the first or furthest along of this new class called non-covalent or reversible BTK inhibitors. Ibrutinib, acalabrutinib, zanubrutinib, all of these are covalent or irreversible inhibitors. And all those irreversible inhibitors may share a common weakness or a relapse mechanism, which is mutations in a C481 of the tumor cell, whether it's a CLL cell or even sometimes a mantle cell lymphoma cell. And pirtobrutinib in this new class, they avoid that shortcoming. They may have other shortcomings as well, but certainly at least are mechanistically distinct in that way from acalabrutinib, ibrutinib, zanubrutinib. So very exciting group. And the Bruin study, lots of CLL patients and lots of data about that, but focusing on mantle cell, there was a subset of patients with mantle cell that we're following up now at ASH 2022, about 90 patients with mantle cell lymphoma, and the response rates quite high, well above 50%, and even 20%-ish complete remission rate, so that's quite exciting. The data is parsed a little bit, so even patients that had prior progression to disease on another BTK inhibitor, ibrutinib, acalabrutinib, whichever, still 50% of them had responses. So that's pretty good. It suggests that the pirtobrutinib can really be effective even when those other covalent BTK inhibitors were ineffective for mantle cell lymphoma. That's been shown a bit more for CLL previously, but from mantle cell, this is the first and best data towards that. So that's very exciting. And I have to say, I've been impressed or even surprised with more and more data from the pirtobrutinib, how sort of safe and clean it's been because it is different than acalabrutinib, zanubrutinib. I thought it might have more sort of off-target toxicities and more side effects. Seems to have been, again, extremely well tolerated, maybe that way similar to some of those BTK inhibitors we're already very comfortable with. So more data in mantle cell lymphoma showing still more long-term safety, very exciting, and pretty good response rates, even in ibrutinib, acalabrutinib, zanubrutinib, probably refractory patients. So very encouraging. Good to have another tool in the arsenal for these mantle cell patients who still need more.
What has the ZUMA-2 trial shown about the potential for CAR T-cell therapy in relapsed refractory MCL?
You know, so we're very lucky that the immunotherapy revolution has had amongst its best successes in B-cell lymphomas. And amongst B-cell lymphomas, probably mantle cell is one of the greatest unmet needs. Still, we think of it as incurable in the majority of patients. It's a little silly to call it incurable. No disease is inherently incurable. It's just in 2022, it has been mostly incurable. In 2030, we hope that it will be mostly curable. Hodgkin's lymphoma was mostly incurable in 1950 and mostly curable now. The disease is not incurable, just we have not been able to cure it with the old standard chemotherapies and gentle immunotherapies like rituximab. But immunotherapies broadly may be the shift in how we define mantle cell lymphoma. I am pretty optimistic we will see some plateaus on the Kaplan-Meier curves hinting at cure. And the ZUMA-2 follow-up of this first large trial using called Brexucel, similar to Axi-cel by Gilead, but it's just a slightly different manufacturing. The Brexucel from the ZUMA-2 trial was showing in the first New England Journal of Medicine publication now a couple of years ago, very high response rates and even complete remission rates above 2/3. That's about the best we've seen with any CAR T-cell in any B-cell lymphoma. So excellent CR rates, back at the initial publication, and now this very important update we're getting at ASH 2022, showing that probably about half of those patients in complete remission at the early data cut are still more than 2 years afterwards, still in remission. So some of them followed for 2 years, some of them followed for 3 years. But, you know, hard to call that a cure yet, but certainly durable remission is the only, you know, metric on the way to cure. And these folks have been in complete remission for years now. And this is just efficacy wise better than just about any other therapy we've seen for these relapse refractory mantle cell folks. The other thing they see in this update is that patients with better performance status did better, tolerated therapy better, of course, and patients with lower tumor burden did better as well, not surprising. So the author's conclusion is, you know, we should be open-minded to even trying to get CAR-T a bit earlier into the treatment paradigm for mantle cell lymphoma, exactly when, you know, whether there should be a third-line, second-line therapy. I don't think we know the answer, but treating patients with lower tumor burden, certainly the cause of, or let's just say a correlate of the best durable responses in this ZUMA-2 follow-up. So great, promising results. You know, still, we don't want to oversell CAR T cell safety or simplicity. It's still a complex therapy, not always accessible for everybody. Sometimes the time investment of a personalized therapy is not always a luxury every patient has. And the toxicities here were significant in terms of cytokine release syndrome, in terms of neurotoxicities, ICANS. So we still need to improve on that. But for some patients, these durable responses are super exciting. Great to see more of that data at ASH 2022.
What does the future for immunotherapy look like in this population?
Immunotherapy has been perhaps even more exciting in mantle cell lymphoma than even other lymphomas. Firstly, because the unmet need probably even greater for mantle cell than for follicular lymphoma and even, you know, probably diffuse large B-cell lymphoma where we're curing the majority of patients already. And we already had a hint of this for many years now. Rituximab maintenance therapy, for example, not very helpful in follicular, not very helpful in DLBCL, but rituximab maintenance has had its best results in mantle cell lymphoma after initial chemoimmunotherapy with R-CHOP, after autologous stem cell transplant, yielding overall survival benefits. I mean, to yield an overall survival benefit with a gentle therapy like rituximab maintenance has already been quite striking, but still, obviously, we need better for mantle cell lymphoma. But that hint that immunotherapy and targeting CD20 specifically, to some degree, paved the way for newer, better immunotherapies, or at least certainly more effective, and bispecific antibodies targeting CD20, probably the most exciting thing in all B-cell lymphomas over the past couple of years in terms of awesome efficacy data, pretty good safety data, and pretty good, you know, sort of user-friendliness, feasibility, and ease of use. So we're going to get an update at ASH 2022 about glofitamab, probably the bispecific antibody furthest along in mantle cell lymphoma, and the efficacy has been just really incredible. Higher efficacy in mantle cell lymphoma, again, than in other lymphomas we look at like DLBCL. So complete remission rates, we'll see at this ASH update, complete remission rates almost up to 80%, you know, much higher than what we've seen even in diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. I mean, the first caveat there is that the trial is a little smaller. We only have many tens, not hundreds of patients treated, but the data is quite exciting. The efficacy data, and, you know, near to unprecedented. But again, we don't want to quite oversell the safety data. There was more CRS in the mantle cell group than we've seen even with bispecifics in diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. So these patients still need monitoring. They may eventually need a sort of a different dose escalation paradigm. You know, with glofitamab, we do a baby dose, medium dose, grown-up dose. Who knows, maybe we'll have to stretch out the baby doses or something, which we think could be a simple fix without making an inherent change in the therapy. And I think this is amongst the most exciting things we've seen in mantle cell lymphoma, fairly easy to use immunotherapy with high potency. And quite honestly, I think that this will quickly work its way into second line and probably even first line therapy over the next few years. So very exciting.
What's on the horizon for MCL treatment going forward?
You know, I think the future development of therapies in mantle cell lymphoma is just full of juicy and maybe low-hanging opportunities because we're talking about all these therapies, but, you know, the basis of medical oncology is combining non-overlapping toxicity therapies. I mean, this is how we cured acute leukemia, in the 70s and Hodgkin's lymphoma in the 80s. It's not about monotherapies. It's about, rational, we hope, smart combinations of therapies. And we're mentioning these exciting results with BTK inhibitors like pirtobrutinib, but still with acalabrutinib, zanubrutinib as well. And we're mentioning these immunotherapies like bispecifics and CAR T-cell therapies. But I mean, it's almost a no-brainer that we should be able to combine these things in a rational way to get deeper remissions, hopefully cures, and, in terms of the safety of these therapies, probably without much additive toxicity between a BTK inhibitor and an immunotherapy. So we just have to do that a little bit rationally because we are developing some data here at Mount Sinai about the differential immunomodulatory effects of different BTK inhibitors. We focus on the fact that they target BTK, but they also can target other TEC family kinases like ITK, especially in the case of ibrutinib, ITK as well as TXK. And those other kinases are expressed in T cells, NK cells, and other immune cells. So BTK inhibitors can all be immunomodulatory in different ways, possibly helpful ways, possibly harmful ways. So I think we just have to be a bit smart about thinking about some future BTK inhibitor plus bispecific antibody trial, what's the immunologically most reasonable way to do that. But very easy to imagine that those types of therapies could easily be combined as a second-line therapy. Really, we're already looking at BTK inhibitors for older non-transplant eligible patients as frontline monotherapies. So there's no reason that these kinds of, I think, relatively safe combinations couldn't be, studied in the front line. We just have to do it in what we think is an immunologically sensible way. So very exciting opportunities, just looking at these great advances and how we can, bring them together.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of Enclave on Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive and at OncLiveSOSS. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive on Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms, so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to Enclave on Air.